This is the Bod Pod.
Are we born confident, or is confidence something that we learn? What is the secret sauce to our confidence? Hey, Bod Pod Squad, I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and today we have a powerhouse guest who is inspiring confidence and a much needed mindset shift when it comes to our personal style. Today we are sitting down with the incredible Marie Dene of the Curvy Fashionista for a conversation that I know is going to ignite your confidence and obviously inspire your sense of style too. Marie, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited that you're here. I want to give a little intro of you for our Bod Pod listeners who may not know who you are. So Marie Dene is the founder of the Curvy Fashionista, and she launched the brand in 2008 with an ambitious dream to bring plus size fashion and its champions to mainstream audiences. Marie's goal was to bring plus size fashion to places where plus size representation was not a thing. Most recently, Marie has teamed up with us at the BodCon for our Confidence Course series. Here, Marie is diving even deeper into her personal journey to confidence alongside tips to help you reach your full potential too. But don't worry, we're not going to just make you wait for the series to get to know Marie. That's what we're going to do today. So Marie, let's dive right in.
All right, let's go.
Yes, let's go, girl. So I want to start by talking a little bit about your comeuppance to this sense of confidence that you have. So I want to take it back all the way to 2008, when you started the Curvy Fashionista 15 years ago, right? You're starting this platform for plus size bodies. And I'm curious, was there a moment or an occurrence that sparked this idea for you that you said, you know what, enough is enough. I need to bring awareness to and create a space for plus size bodies.
Yeah, it's parallel. I had been working in retail at a high-end department store, and on the floor, I would have women coming to ask me, okay, where can we get this? Like, where can I find items? As well as I was also in my MBA program. And I had a dream at that time to have a boutique. And I was like, okay, I used my MBA program to do research, to understand the space. I started on Blogspot. And I was in a couple of, oh gosh, what is the name of those live journal communities? The Fashionista community. And I remember being like, okay, maybe I could do this. I didn't understand at the time. I was real ignorant to the politics piece of it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted cute clothes. And I wanted to talk about, because I was finding and I would know some of these brands that were, that had plus size options, but weren't available in store. That's where I found Rachel Pally, who had been carrying in Nordstrom's at plus sizes. So I was like, yeah, yo, like, you can, Rachel Pally has an option. Like, you can go there. I'm actually wearing Rachel Pally right now.
And yeah, it's so cute, by the way. Anyone who is just, yes, it's so cute, so comfy. Anyone who might just be listening on Spotify or Apple, be sure to check out our YouTube, because Marie looks amazing. Like, you look so good.
Thank you. I recognized that there was something. I had no idea what it was. But I just started, funnily enough, on Christmas Day, because I couldn't go home. I was living in Oakland at the time, and I couldn't get home for Christmas because I had to be back working in retail. You had to be there for the day after Christmas.
Girl, yes.
Yeah. So
we love to shop, but not to work.
That part. So for me, I ended up launching on Christmas Day, and my goal was to show different designers that I was finding so that I could then carry them in my boutique. So yeah, it was like just a marketing resource, right? Here's something available. Here are some of these different brands. And from there, it just has grown and evolved.
Wow, I love that it originally started as this boutique idea and grew into something that became so impactful for women. Yes, a resource, but also a resource with great impact. So I'm curious off of that. Obviously, media has shifted so much since you first started. You said it yourself, I started on Blogspot, which is so iconic. I literally was talking about doing this interview, and I said, Marie to me is like an OG blogger, right? An OG fashion blogger that we look to when we think of the women who really came up in this space, like showing us that we could do this too, what we could wear, that we could feel great. So I'm curious, as you've seen this media transition since 2008, over the past 15 years, what has that impact been, the media impact been for the curvy fashionista? Positive, negative, all the things.
I think it was really a journey of me realizing what I was building, right? So for me, as I was growing, now I don't even acknowledge myself as a blogger or an influencer. Like TPF is a digital media platform. I am a digital publisher. I've only recently understood what that means to then further unlock like capabilities, resources, education to improve upon that for myself. But what I will say about media as a whole for plus size, like the growth of the plus size space is in direct correlation to the growth and advent of social media. It is intrinsically tied because for so long, you had marketing people, industry people telling us this is how you should look. This is how we see you. This is what we feel like you want to wear. Because in their head, plus size women were women in transition. Oh, we're going to be losing weight. We were hiding away. We didn't want to stand out. We didn't want to call attention to. There was a, it was like a message to, oh, we don't really care about ourselves. But once social media and these platforms started to arise, like it gave us a voice, it gave us platform, and it democratized fashion where we used our voice to and our images to show up and be like, nah, this is what I want. To literally challenge and push against the stereotypes, the archetypes of a plus size person. And so it really was empowering. And it was also a lot of, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going for it. I'm having fun. There are a lot of life lessons. I've made a lot of mistakes. I have grown a whole lot. And I think what's really important about this journey is allowing to give myself grace and acknowledge and learn how to acknowledge and recognize myself in this process. Because for me, what I don't want to do is go through any of those mistakes again. Two, what I want to do is like really understand and take a moment to just recognize myself, because I think I can get so caught up in the work, but it's allowed for me to really understand and learn and really just live my passion.
I love how much you touch on the politics of fashion and the fact that you speak to that voice, because you're so right. You know that we've had on the podcast Sarah of Curvily, and we've talked a lot about the politics. We all had the opportunity to speak on the Bod Talk together, and you both hit on that. The fact that at one point it was made to seem as though everyone was just in transition. So plus size fashion wasn't a thing, when in reality, it was always a thing. There just wasn't the representation. And now the representation is the real people, the real bodies, right? Having that voice, having that platform. And it's so awesome to look back at your platform evolving in that way, always having that voice. And now, even more so, having that voice and that growth. And I want to ask the question of, do you feel like it has been mission accomplished for the curvy fashionista, knowing that this mission is to represent these plus size bodies and make people feel more represented and less absent? Do you think it's mission accomplished for you? Do you think it's mission accomplished for the community?
No, the moment that mission accomplished, that's like true inclusion, true inclusivity, that people, that's like literally dismantling the whole beauty fashion industry, right? Because we're constantly being told we're not enough. We're constantly being told that we need to stay and look young and stay and look thin and stay, have our hair a certain way, have our makeup a certain way. Like all of these things that are telling us we don't measure up. Whereas, like within the plus space, there's still a lot of people who are even just learning how to look at themselves in the mirror and say, girl, you cute. So there's, we still have a ways to go. And as far as TCF, like I've literally just like transitioned into media. So for me, I'm understanding and I'm now in a space learning, okay, what capabilities do I now have? Like, I'm learning about what it means to be with servant-based leadership. I'm learning what it means to, what tools are coming out, what new tech stuff. I'm now like, okay, what conferences do I need to be at? So that if I'm going to be playing in this, as I'm playing in this new media space and being a digital media publisher, where do I have to grow into? And for me, I've sought out mentors. I've been very fortunate. I was in an accelerator program this year in which I've literally expanded my ecosystem in ways that I just never knew existed. So I think the fact that I stay curious, stay learning, it's affording me the ability to grow and to actualize like this goal that I've had for TCF since the beginning.
You talked about this growth that you've had this year and the changes of media and how that's impacting the curvy fashionista. So, what have these changes that have been happening in your brand, in your business, in your life this year, what do they mean for the curvy fashionista moving forward?
For me, I have two words. I don't do resolutions. I do themes for the year. For me, it's been foundation and exploration. And so foundation for me is expansion is really about foundation. And so like expansion and foundation are linked for me. So it's really been about going back to the basics, like really looking at operations, financials, and any additional knowledge that I know that I'm missing. So it's like me asking questions to other publishers. Hey, what does your day consist of? What do I need to be focusing on? How do I shift? Is there articles that I can read? And really just like learning the operations of things, right? Because I've been pursuing this so long from a place of passion that I had neglected the business. And so now it's a focus shift. Instead of swinging the pendulum one way or the other, I'm learning to bring it into the middle. So that means I have to give up some things. I'm not writing on the site as much. I'm gonna have a little column, right? Because now I have a managing editor who is like slapping my hand. No, I'm working on this. I'm like, okay. And allowing them this and giving them that space to then show me what they're working on versus, you know what I'm saying? So it's a mindset shift where I remember one of my mentors was like, Marie, you have been so passion focused. This has been a baby of yours for so long that you've been focusing on the content to create revenue. You now need to focus on the revenue to create content, which means, Marie, you now have to become an ambassador of your company. You have to go out there, build relationships, be visible. And I'm like, what does that mean? Because I haven't really been visible. I used to be a little bit more visible, but I really got my excitement on helping shine a light on other people, providing resources, like being of service in that way. And now it's time for me to show up and show out. And I'm still learning what that means and looks like for me.
I have heard from so many women in business who say that exact same thing, where they're like, I've been behind the scenes because I have this ultimate goal and I'm just trying to push that goal forward and allow other people the space to bring that goal to life. And there is just this need and I think want of communities to see the face behind the hard work too. Like saying, okay, like I've looked to the curvy fashionista as a resource, but who is the curvy fashionista? What is she doing? Like the curvy fashionista, aka Marie. Like who is Marie? And that's so neat that now you're stepping into this role where you're like, okay, I'm going to be a bit more front-facing in order to take this business and this brand to the place that I know it deserves to be and I want it to be and where this community deserves for it to be. Because as you said, the work isn't done. It's not mission accomplished. And doing work like you are is going to allow us to get closer to that mission accomplished. So I want to dive into your confidence series that you're working on with the BODCON. We have a really awesome collection of confidence boosting content and courses coming out for our community in October. And you are one of the amazing people behind the courses. And I would love to dive into maybe a few little sprinkles of what you are talking about in your course. Maybe you can give us some highlights, some of your favorite moments of things that you're sharing in the course. Maybe it dives into some of this like newness that the curvy fashionista is headed towards. Give us all these details.
I was really excited. I didn't know exactly what to expect. It was a conversation, so I was like, okay, no pressure. For me, being able to share my journey, and I in the series I talk about learning how to trust myself, and I talk about how it's important to have to both learn how to recognize what you've done and to acknowledge the things you're doing. And it's like recognition and acknowledgement of self is that reminder, especially when you're trying something new, trying something different, and you're like, I don't know if I could do it. You're like, oh my gosh, this is scary. But then it's you have done other scary things before, and
Yes.
you have succeeded, or you did it, but you recognize, oh, I needed to do it a little, like you made it through. And so for me, it's learning how to look inwards and acknowledge and recognize myself. Because then it gives little checkpoints along the way. So then instead of looking back, you're like, I don't know what I've done. You have no kind of repository of like personal milestones or successes. So it doesn't feel true. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like, oh, I can accomplish it, because confidence is literally a muscle. It is a
Yes.
muscle that you have to continually work at and build upon. And it's not something like, oh, now I'm confident. I can do all this thing right here. You still have to actively work towards or work at these things. And then I learned in therapy, my therapist once said, find the lie and replace it with the truth. And as someone who's dealt with like abandonment issues and people pleasing, like became part of that. So I would give away a lot of my power. I would give away a lot of myself and think so small of myself, or I would hold on to something that had long since passed its expiration date because of my abandonment issues or and my need to please, or even just some of the abuses that I've gone through as a child. So for me, like having to navigate through that, like therapy is wonderful. It is like necessary. And it's there's I think when I first started therapy, one of my friends had shared with me how it's okay to not be okay. And it removed a lot of the putting on the face to, oh, I'm good. That's BS, because I think we're so used to, and I think Instagram helped it, like putting on this facade of living this like perfect ideal life and look at how amazing things are. Nah, like it's not like that all the time. And it's okay to not be okay. And so in this series, I talk about this journey, this like these lessons that I've learned along the way that have allowed for me to grow into myself, to recognize and reclaim my power, and in all reality, to like put on my crown and understand what that means for me. I'm still trying to figure that out, but that's part of the journey. That's part of life, right? And so for me, it's, I find myself really grateful of all the different life lessons and the growth that I've done that has allowed for me to even just be able to sit here and talk with you about it. Because yeah, we go through things, but how many times do people feel comfortable or confident enough to actually speak about it out loud?
Yes. If you're watching, you have seen me smiling throughout this whole thing you've been saying, Marie. And I've been like cheering in the background as you're sharing this. I am such a proponent of consistency builds confidence, right? As you said, confidence is a muscle. And when we consistently show up for ourselves, we are building confidence in ourselves that we can do it again and again. As you said, sometimes the biggest proof is our past self. Looking back at our past self and saying, girl, you've come through this, you've been able to do this, so you can do it again. It might be a little bit different, but you can face it, you can do it. And as you said, it's a journey. It's not always easy, but that consistency, continually doing that for ourselves really does build that confidence and build that trust. And I'm so excited for people to get to listen to your course. I'm so excited to get to walk through your course because I'm sure it's going to be so impactful from what you just shared and the woman that I know that you are. But I'm curious if someone could take just a tiny little takeaway from this conversation today in terms of that learning to trust yourself, learning to have that confidence in yourself. Is there like one key takeaway that they could have from this conversation that they could start applying to their life while they wait for this course to come out and they can access all of your goodness?
Like my mind goes in so many different directions. I think if anything, I would challenge you to go and do personal inventory and start like recognizing different moments of successes. And don't immediately try to water it down or minimize or excuse it. Or sometimes we're like, oh yeah, I did that. And we'll just be like, whatever. Well, whatever it. No, sit in it. Sit in those moments of where you really felt good. Why did you feel good? What was it about the feeling good that felt different than other times? Allow yourself to recognize and acknowledge yourself in different moments. I feel like that's probably going to be like the most important kind of thing when we start shifting our mind, because I am a Virgo. Okay. I am naturally analytical.
It's your season, girl.
It
I
is.
guess just passing, but
Just
it's
passing, yes. But I am a Capricorn moon and a
okay.
Cancer rising. So I'm an emotional, I am an ambitious, and I am a analytical, self-analytical perfectionist. So when my feelings get hurt, I retreat, right? But I am so ambitious and I have the audacity to envision all these big things for myself. But I'm also like analyzing and looking at everything like, oh, I could have done this. I should have done this. But I have to learn how to quiet some of those things. And again, for me, what my biggest lesson has been finding the lie and replacing it with the truth. So, in order for me to do that, it's about recognizing the things that I've done, acknowledging myself in that process, and also learning how to give myself grace, because you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes I think, like in this journey, it's easy to project like your thoughts and your insecurities or your assumptions onto other people. And I think once you realize like everyone's in their own process and along their own journey, you learn not to take things so personally, or you learn how to separate some of those things, because you know how you like I remember reading something that was like how they what they think of you, how they feel of you is not your business. And it's really hard because I'm a sign of service, so I want to make everyone happy. I want to make do all the things, but it's a reality. And so I acknowledge myself like what? Like you moved in good faith. You had the intentions. Yes, you messed up here. I'm constantly analyzing myself and criticizing myself. And so that has allowed for me to grow, to learn how to like woo-saw and give myself grace in this reflection, so that like I don't want to repeat something, because the universe has a funny way of doing that. So I will take those lessons and try to apply them as I face or grow through new things. I think that's probably like the biggest thing I could have someone just like start learning how to recognize yourself in these spaces where your strength, your funniness, your smarts, your talents, whatever those things are, and even those milestones. But you see it often. I'm the person who I dreamt of 10 years ago. I am the per like thinking about, oh, when I was 20, I wanted to do X. I'm doing this. Like giving yourself that recognition allows for you to then feel full. And we're operating in a space of abundance versus a space of lack, because that will allow for you to not have to feel like you need to seek it out elsewhere. You have it all within yourself.
Something that I realized early on in my journey was that there are a lot of good days, there are a lot of high highs, right? But there are a lot of lows as well. And I love that you called it a personal inventory that you take for yourself. Something that I've done along my journey that I'm sure you can relate to on this is when I have successes, I literally write them down. I have a notebook that is just of my successes, which might seem a
I
little
love that.
like, thank you. It
No,
could
you
seem
need
like
it.
too much, but you do because there are days, and sometimes more than days, weeks, months, years, where we're just
Seasons.
not Yes, seasons. That's a perfect way to say it. There are seasons where we are just not feeling like our best self, and we feel like we never have those wins. But when we have a place that personal inventory exists, we can look back on it, just like we said earlier, and say, oh no, like I have done this thing, right? It's okay. It might not be my season of doing it right now, but that season will come again. That for me has been like one of the biggest game changers. And so I love that that is a tip that you gave that we all can take away and do that and take that personal inventory, because I think we have a lot more wins than we think we do. We just are so much more focused on what we have to do versus what we have done.
And it's so easy to focus on what we don't have versus
Yeah.
what we have. And that goes back to being in a spirit and in a space of gratitude and an abundance mindset versus lack. Like I when I tell you, girl, I've been doing the work, okay? I've been doing the work. I've been there's a journal, I'm actually looking at it, called The Magic. And I do, it's from the people who do The Secret. So it's like a guided, a month guided gratitude journaling practice.
Okay.
And it literally, every day I have to write down 10 things I'm grateful for. And it
Yes.
starts to reprogram your mind and how you look at things. So yes, things happen that hurt your feelings. Like for me last week, I had something hurt my feelings, but then like immediately I'm like, but Marie, like you've done this or you've had this or you can't do all the things and you have fallen back a little bit. It allows me to catch myself before I go down the slippery slope of, oh my God, but I'm horrible and like they didn't, or whatever story, whatever lie I want to slip into, I'm able to catch myself, right?
Yeah.
And be like, you know what? Now I'm grateful for being able to catch myself because of
Yes.
that whole mindset shift. And that kind of helps me continue to build as opposed to chip away at the growth that I've done. Or journal, your success journal. About a few years back, someone had told me that I needed to do a wall situation in which I would have magazines I've been in, or the thank you cards, or different ways. So it's a different visualization of like my successes. And I was like,
Yes.
oh, I like that. And I'm like, oh, that's why people put all of their certificates on the wall as a reminder of you see it now from a different perspective. You're like, oh, that makes sense. And so that is something that I am going to be working at and making sure that I do for myself,
Yeah.
because that is so important and so real in this
Yeah.
whole process. Like having that. So whether it could be a journal or it could be a collage or poster, just like how you have your vision boards, like having that like success or achievement kind of space to help you remember to remind you about your successes is going to be so critical and so important.
Absolutely transformative, Marie. I love that we touched on this. I feel like you and I could go off on this all day. I love that you've been taking the time to do this for yourself. I know that obviously, as you said, it's been transformative for you. I know that's been transformative for me. And I think for anyone listening who has the time or will take the time to do just those little things, like that little work that we do for ourselves adds up. That is
It
that
does.
consistency that builds confidence. Hey, BodPod Squad, make sure you follow and subscribe to our YouTube page for the best experience with the BodPod and beyond, because we're on camera right now. We're looking cute and we're having a good time. You can also download the BodCon app for free, where you can watch, listen, and even chat with us in real time. Amazing. So, Marie, I mentioned earlier our mutual friend, Curvily, Sarah. We, in our episode with Sarah, talked a bit about Fashion Week and representation or lack of representation. And so I want to dive a little bit into that fashion piece, because you literally are the curvy fashionista. Like, we need to really touch on the fashion. So, first, I want to know, is there an outrageous item or outfit that you have worn that maybe people have said is like not appropriate for curvy bodies, but you know that it just makes you feel so confident and beautiful when you show up in that piece?
I honestly cannot recall someone saying that, but I
Good.
remember the whole crop top situation, and that was like Sarah Conley from Rascal Honey had she had replied back to this Oprah article about plus size people being in crop tops, and then hashtag rock the crop, and all these plus size girls were wearing their crop tops like, and I'm cute, like now what? That was a very standout moment because everyone was like, no, I can wear my crop top. Let's go. And for me, I tend to dress for comfort. I need to feel comfortable because if I'm uncomfortable, self-conscious, I'm going to be tugging, going to be doing all the things. And so I think I don't think about those things like, oh, someone's going to say I shouldn't be wearing, because no, it's not about that. I feel comfortable. I feel good. I feel like confident in what I'm wearing, and I'm gonna do it. So I don't want to feel so self-aware. So I will find things or find silhouettes and shapes of clothing that make me feel good and then go from there. So what people are going to have opinions regardless. So I like to say opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one.
Isn't it so true, the feel good, look good? If you feel good in what you're wearing, as you said, if you're comfortable and you're not like tugging and like trying to fit into a size pant or top just because it's a certain size, but you're just wearing what works for your body, like you feel better and ultimately like truly you look better. Like the level of confidence that you show up in when you wear that is just, are there any designers right now that you're looking to for plus size inspiration? I know you've mentioned some that you looked to back in the day, and obviously we talked about what you're wearing today, but is there anyone that you'd love to shout out for those who might be curious?
Yeah, so I have to give a shout out to Jabri because she has been consistent. Jasmine Elder of Jabri has been consistent in her own innovation, her own perspective. Never, it's always about like standing out, being bold, celebrating self. And I really appreciate her pieces and what she brings to the space. I would also say Hillary McMillan. She is a designer who is based out of Canada. So she gives us like a Barbie pink pleather, like knee length jacket, right? And she started adding in like plus sizes up through a four, five, four or five X, like 4-ish years ago, 4 to 5 years ago. And I just will never forget, she did this one jacket that goes to the knee, but it like unzipped at the waist. And it
Cute.
was part of like this fall suiting situation. And I was just like, who are you? I need to know you are catering to us. Let's talk. I would also love to shout out, there's so many LA designers right now. So then you have Rachel Pally, but then plus specific Gia in Real Life, Melissa Mercedes, Zelie Frischi. Then you have, oh my gosh, Barkwood Clothing. You have, and that's just five, right? But there's so many more, especially depending on your own personal aesthetic. Oh, then there's Bacall and Santi Grace. And these designers are contemporary. So they do have a little bit of a higher price point, but they're more limited in quantity. But they have a very specific aesthetic and perspective that I appreciate. It may not always be what I would wear, but there are elements that just are so romantic or edgy or bold or unique to them that we don't have in this space. And I would love to see more on a grander scale. Like you have Christian Omishune, who's designing bridal and prom gowns right now. But you have so many different designers. You have, oh gosh, Renee Tyler out of Las Vegas, who's literally who has a shop on the Vegas strip, the only plus size brand on the strip, right? And she's
Amazing.
giving the gowns, like the evening wear that you need for a night in Vegas when you're trying to be uber fancy. Like she's giving options there too. There's so many different designers that are innovating, that are coming up. But we have so many different indie designers that are really innovating, that are really, and I'm constantly like scouring. And there's also not even just indie designers, you have, I'm really impressed with Good American and how they continue to include plus sizes. Like they literally just opened up a shop in a store in LA and they include plus sizes in the store. And
I saw
so,
that. It's about time.
and for me, it's something that I hope other straight size brands are paying attention to because it's the Good American brand. Like that they can prove, what's the word? Concept, proof of concept that can then show and share, okay, we can do it. They did it. Like, okay, we can do it too. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that there are certain brands. I will always call out Theory because I feel like Theory is one of the brands that could easily make a killing in the plus size, wear to work suiting, like elevated, timeless, interchangeable season work pieces. They're tripping. They need to hurry
Where
up
you
and get
at?
to it.
Yeah. I love
So.
that you called out Good American, and I know that they've talked a lot about how a store can't carry their brand unless they have all of the sizes. And then obviously to what you're saying, like it's their own standalone in-person store. So obviously they have all the sizes, but it's so nice to see brands like that doing that. And we are seeing more show up with the actual inclusivity, not just having a token model or a token piece, but truly an entire
Plus size
collection.
mannequins, like the same pieces. I think that's the key, right? Is like when you grade and size, when you do grading is literally taking, creating the size ranges. Like the item on a plus body should look exactly the same on a straight size body. And oftentimes, or in the past, we never got that. Yes, I want a mini skirt. Like she's in a mini skirt. Why does it come to my knee in a plus? Or so we want the exact same thing. So it's really important to have and create that consistency. And we clock it immediately if it's not being done. It's so ripe for the taking right now, especially with all of these mergers, leadership changes, brands entering, brands leaving the space. Like it creates like these holes of opportunity, especially when only 12% of all clothing is made in plus. Even though we make up 67% of the US population, literally the opportunity is vast.
I love that you called out those brands, both like big name brands and indie brands that are serving the plus size community in the way that, as you said, like we want to see those clothes like being produced. So thank you so much for shouting them out. As we've said, like you literally are a resource for curvy fashion. Hello, curvy fashionista. And so I love like hearing those brands from you. But
Thank you.
Marie, yes. Before I let you go, I want to ask you a few more questions. Marie, you've shared with us some of the changes that are going on with the Curvy Fashionista. You have shared with us some takeaways that we can look forward to in your confidence series that you filmed with the BODCON. And now I want to know, is there anything in the pipeline that we can look out for that's coming from the Curvy
Ooh. Nothing that I could share just yet. I'm still
Fashionista?
in the transitional phase of things. So there's like the pre-planning of, but there's a lot to becoming spaced out strategically, especially because, like, for me, I have a tendency to want to do all the things all at one time. And I have learned that I can't. So I have to be controlled, I have to be slowed down. So I think for me right now, it's just a continual transition. So you will see different changes, subtle. One of the things that we are bringing back, I can say that we will be relaunching our community. And we used to have a membership community platform, but I was trying to do all the things and I'm only one person. And so now I'm like, okay, let's game plan, let's strategize. What does this look like? What inputs like, and really thinking about and planning so that we can execute properly. Again, like this is just a sign of my own individual growth. Like execution is the name of the game. And in order to be consistent, you have to learn how to execute. And I have to have like folks who know how to do that. So for me, it's really about seeking that out, understanding and taking the times for me to write out what I want to do and how I envision it and being able to properly communicate that vision with other people and have the folks to help build this in a way that's like really empowering and impactful for myself but also for the team that I'm building, but and then also for the community I serve. So it's really about me learning how to be that effective, that ambitious and inspiring leader to help really understand the difference, because there's a difference between a founder and a CEO. They're two different mindsets. They're two different worlds. And I was going like this, unbeknownst to me, like moving in and out of. And so now, as I'm shifting from the founder to the CEO, like I'm learning what I need to do, how I need to be, how do I show up? What's going on right now is just a lot of transition, a lot of small, subtle changes to become like more idealized in where I see us going.
I cannot wait to see where you're going and what that looks like to us as the outside world, because I know from what we've talked about, when we do the work for ourselves, it projects into everything that we touch, and everything that you've done for the Curvy Fashionista thus far has been impactful. It has been an awesome platform. And so, literally, girl, this is like next level. This is truly the level up for the Curvy Fashionista.
I'm
Love
excited.
it.
I'm like so here for it. Such a nerd. And I'm over here getting excited about like new techie tools or techie resources because I see the bigger picture and I see how this will value add to like operations or data or scale, like all these things. And so I'm like, wee, let's go.
What can we expect from you in the BODCON Confidence Series?
My hope is that people will be able to relate in the journey that I have taken, and they could see parts of themselves, and that they have some actionable tools and resources that they're able to then to apply to themselves immediately. Whether it's you doing mirror work or journaling or just learning how to stare at themselves in the mirror and be like, hey, girl, you cute. Like the smallest element, even just showing up. And being like, okay, let me figure out what this series is about. Like, that is for me, I want people to be able to relate and understand that they're not alone, that they can acknowledge that confidence is a muscle that needs to be built day by day, week by week, month by month, season by season. And to be able to release some of that pressure that they feel that they've like that society has placed on them, that their family has placed on them, that their community has placed on them, and to really just under strip all that down and then to learn how to start pouring and building themselves back up in the way that they're seeking with tools that work best for them. That is my hope.
We cannot wait to see what comes out of your confidence series. It's going to be so good. I can't wait. Be sure to go and follow Marie there. And if you're not already, give us a follow at the VODCON on Instagram, where you'll have all of the updates on the confidence series coming out. So you'll see everything that Marie has talked about today and more. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can see us in real time having this conversation. Like we said earlier, be sure that you go and follow us on our app as well, where you can see this content, and we have chats there happening all of the time, so we can talk about this. You'll have updates on the confidence series there too. And Marie, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you so much. You have given us so much confidence today, great tips and resources. And obviously, there's even more coming from you soon. So, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, guys, we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BODCON 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BODCON. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.